You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, July the 11th, and the 4-0 Summer League team dominant once again. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening along as we trudge through July here. It is hot in Michigan, finally. A couple more days of heat, as I understand it, here in downtown Detroit. So looking forward to sweating with you guys through that one. Today we're going to break down another Summer League triumph for the Detroit Pistons out in Las Vegas. Tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit more Summer League history and perspective, but today about some things I didn't love, actually, about the win against Philadelphia. And unfortunately, maybe those things might mean a little bit more in the big picture for the Pistons as kind of some negatives. But we're also going to talk a minute later on about Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors. It's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle of all the Russell Westbrook trade hysteria, but Kyle Lowry might be able to be had in some of these fallouts of the free agency of these past few weeks as well. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But for the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed. That's going to be at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the local opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency at Locked On NBA Net. That is the handle there. But the Pistons moved to 4-0 in Las Vegas Summer League action on Wednesday afternoon, 96-81 with the victory over the Philadelphia 76ers, qualifying for the 8-team quarterfinal, the third straight blowout victory for the Pistons. Actually, that 15-point margin that they won this one by was the closest game that they've played so far in the tournament for the Detroit Pistons. The margin of wins was 16 points against Croatia, 20 against Portland, 18 against the Indiana Pacers, and then 15 against Philly. A total composite, when you add together all the wins, of 69 points, which is a nice number. An average margin of victory of 17.3 points per game. And remember, the Pistons are doing this all without their number one pick this year, the 15th pick of the draft, Sekou Doumbouya, who every game we've heard, oh, he might be able to play next game, he might be able to play next game. But by the way, he has signed his rookie contract with the Pistons. We know that. So this isn't a trade issue that's going on here. He can be traded, but they're gonna have to wait until, I believe, August 20th, something like that, I think I saw, for new free agents to be signed. But maybe rookies might be more of that December date, but I'll recheck on that. But I think he falls under the August 20th umbrella as well, like Tony Snell would, if he's to be dealt for Russell Westbrook, Kyle Lowry, or whoever else. But the lack of Sekou Doumbouya, I can't imagine there's any reason, unless some team is coveting him in a trade and wants him to be sat out in case there's an injury risk for Summer League, but that's just a little bit far-fetched in my opinion. I think it's just a slight injury that the Pistons are being overly careful of. I don't have any conspiracy hats on about the fact that Sekou Doumbouya has not suited up so far for Summer League, although he was in uniform on Thursday, so maybe that's a little step up. And every time we hear that the Pistons pass along their PR reps to the broadcasters for the Summer League games, always say that, you know, maybe he'll be back next game. So Friday, when the quarterfinals begin, we'll keep an eye on Sekou to see if he will be suiting up or not. But it'd be nice to see the first round pick in action. Obviously, that would be the most anticipated thing that most of us were looking at here in Summer League anyways. But one of the pleasant surprises for the Pistons in Summer League has been Matt Costello. He scored 20 against the Pacers on Monday. This time, on Wednesday, he had 18 points and 7 rebounds in the victory. I'm going to throw a little cold water on this one, and I hate to be cold water guy because I think that's basically what the theme of the show might be a little bit, despite the 4-0 and all the impressive numbers that I just threw out at you guys. Obviously, Costello showed early in the game that he can knock down some shots. I think he had 3 threes in the first quarter, which is great and nice, and certainly something that you can kind of differentiate yourself from some big men these days by doing that. But, man, he was rejected at the rim by the big 7'4" guy for Philly, and I thought he was tentative at the rim otherwise. He looked, you know, a little bit like he was overpowered at times, and then he rushed shots near the basket, didn't go up and just throw down dunks like you see, like you like to see from guys that are reserve centers, possibly in the NBA. 18-7. I know this sounds ridiculous, but I thought there were a couple more of those bad signs from Matt Costello than good ones. Obviously, making 3 3-pointers shows you can knock them down, but there's a lot of variance with 3-pointers. I don't think he has a long history of showing he's a very proficient 3-point shooter. But again, being a serviceable 3-point shooter is a good thing in today's game, and could serve him well. But I don't know that that we got good indications from how he would go up against NBA centers in this one. And I thought NBA athletes, he kind of looked like he didn't quite belong at times, especially right near the basket. Now, I'm in for Matt Costello as a Grand Rapids Drive player, no doubt about it. But that's kind of where it ends right now for me. I think maybe there's some Michigan State guys out there that are hoping that he becomes, you know, part of the Pistons' long-term plans, maybe even someone that could be at the end of the bench for the Pistons this year. I hate to be a downer about that one, but I'm just not seeing it right now. He's 25 years old, so it's not a great age for developmental purposes. You know, it's not old, and he certainly could have a few years in the G League. And maybe he does make it up to an NBA roster at some point as an outside contributor. And I know he did have some NBA minutes before. And I'm not trying to throw all the cold water on this, but as far as like someone who's integral part of the Pistons' plans this season, I thought maybe we saw a couple of bad signs in this game from him. But again, more good than bad. Good for Matt Costello, good for Spartans fans, and hopefully maybe I'm proven wrong, and maybe he ends up as part of a back end of a rotation or at some point in the NBA. But I just thought got overpowered a little bit at times, despite the more positives than negatives as far as gameplay for him. On the other side of the coin, 14 points off the bench for Todd Withers. Now, here's a guy that I could see possibly becoming a real live contributor as a bit player for the Pistons going forward down the road, and maybe even a little bit more of a ceiling than that too. A little bit of 3-and-D wiggle there, a big wing at 6'8", more of a 3-4 combo position-wise, but kind of seems to be in the right place at the right time. And what I like about him, doesn't try to do too much. The less you notice of him on defense, the better sometimes. He's from Queens University in Charlotte, played with the Grand Rapids Drive last year. He's just 23 years old, which is a good thing. 31% from three with the G League last year, was 3 of 4 in this game on Wednesday. A guy who didn't play much basketball if at all, until high school out in Greensboro, North Carolina. Some room to grow there. I found a story written by the college paper, I believe, when he was a freshman or sophomore, Queens University Division II school in Charlotte. He has a brain tumor, apparently, a small one that he gets checked on once every year. And again, this is an article as of 2015, so maybe something has developed. Maybe he had it removed, or I guess I don't really know. But something we'll check on as time goes on, especially if Todd Withers continues to be a player who looks like he could be part of the future, certainly of the Pistons organization when you throw the Drive into that equation, but maybe even someone that could get with the big club at some point, and someone that the Pistons are going to want to hold on to as much as possible. Interesting there. And, very quickly, by the way, a couple of dunks, a couple of transition things by Lewis King. I thought he had his best game for the Pistons. I know it's been a overwhelmingly disappointing summer league for Lewis King so far, especially with some of the defense that he seems to be lost on a little bit. But I'm not going to panic on Lewis King. And I know I'm kind of zagging a lot of times on a lot of the things that you see with your own eyes from watching games in summer league. But Lewis King is a project. Lewis King is a guy who's very talented, McDonald's All-American type of player. I'm not sure if he was actually technically a McDonald's All-American. I didn't look that up, but rated highly in high school and went to Oregon, had some issues there. And very talented, very skinny, needs to work on the body, needs to work on the defensive awareness. But those are the kind of things that the Pistons coaching staff and Grand Rapids coaching staff need to coach up. And there's going to be a little bit of project on their hands, but it could be something that could work out good in the long run. We saw the athleticism, a little bit of defense, running the floor in transition and throwing down a couple dunks there for the Pistons. So his best game. Speaking of his best game, I thought Jordan Bone was very good. 13 points, a plus 20 off the bench. And for his biggest fan in the game, which is Caron Butler, the former Pistons legend, who I kind of liked as an analyst for this game. But Caron said, how about this for analytics? Talking about the plus minus as being a big-time analytical stat. I don't think that's really analytics these days. It's maybe the first ever analytics stat that has been passed over time and time again by more and more stats that have come out. But good for Caron. that he's reaching out to the other new age fans out there. But anyway, 13 points for Jared Uthoff, the former Iowa player. I think he's a nice piece for the Grand Rapids Drive. He's got to become an elite shooter to be an NBA guy. And he's a good shooter, but I just, he's got to be like, to be as limited as he kind of looks otherwise, you know, you got to become the J.J. Redick type of shooter. I just don't see enough outside of the shooting yet, although he did have that nice pass in the open court to, I believe it was Bruce Brown for a dunk in transition, kind of threaded the needle there. I know Uthoff was a very productive player at Iowa, all Big Ten type of player a few years back, but again, the path to the NBA is tough for him, as he's figured out here in these last few games. Dante Hall is another project who had 8 points on Wednesday, really making his mark around the rim protector kind of guy. So, we look at this and it's like Jared Uthoff's putting up big numbers. Matt Costello is putting up maybe bigger numbers than anyone outside of Bruce Brown on this roster, especially the last couple games. But I'm seeing more potential from guys like Todd Withers, guys like Jordan Bone, and guys like Dante Hall, even guys like Lewis King. Despite the disappointment, I just see more. I mean, if Dante Hall can protect the rim like he has, he's been like really just kind of intimidating with how many blocks he's throwing in people's faces. It's an NBA skill, and I think the guys, the all-around guys who aren't quite good enough to be NBA players, that's a tougher path to make the league than the guys who, hey, Dante Hall is going to protect the rim for you. He's going to be tough for you. Todd Withers is going to do his thing defensively, stay out of the way offensively, and knock down some threes. There's like more easier paths, more things that you can see happening in an NBA roster. So you got to kind of look for those things when you're talking about G League guys who could make it and potential type of players that could be something, you know, in a couple years with a little bit more development in their games over time. But up next, we're going to talk about putting this summer league run in perspective a little bit. And again, I'm going to maybe throw some cold water on it, some of the negatives that I saw from some of the more crucial players for the Pistons' future in summer league. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, I'm going to give some thoughts on Kyle Lowry, who might be on the trading block and available through the Pistons. But when you are driving to work or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we'll be right there with you for the drive to wherever you're headed. But wanted to update you guys on the Summer League quarterfinals, which are coming up on Friday. The Pistons, as we know, have clinched their way into the 8-team playoff. They have not yet locked up the one seed, but the Grizzlies and the Celtics are both 3-0, and they play in the late game on Thursday night. So if the winner of that game blows out the loser, both have a chance to get past Detroit for the one seed in the quarterfinals there. Both of those teams have 3-0 records and high point differentials as well. But the Pistons at 17.3 points per game. Yes, they also have the highest number one seed right now and the highest point differential there. But like I said, the Pistons will probably be the one seed, but certainly could drop to the two seed if things don't work out for them late on Thursday night. But again, 8 teams of the 32 will qualify for the single elimination tournament to determine the Las Vegas Summer League champion. This is different than before. They used to have the 30 teams before Croatia and China entered last year, and there was this long, convoluted bracket where more teams were able to get into that tournament. So rewarding the regular season Summer League teams a little bit more so far and this year. And so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be your basic 8-team bracket, single elimination. Win 3 in a row and you're the champion. Lose Friday and your summer league is done. So as far as opponents, it's tough to say right now. Like I said, there's a full slate of games on Thursday. For the 8th seed, the 7th seed, you could be looking at teams like New Orleans, Miami, Brooklyn. Those teams are all done at 3-1. Then you got Sacramento, Utah, the Clippers, Golden State, Oklahoma City, and Phoenix. Those teams are all 2-1 as I tape this, although it looks like Golden State might lose and go to 2-2, so they might get themselves tossed out of consideration there. Then you got a couple of teams that are probably only going to play 3 games because of the earthquake over the weekend. So, again, it's tough to speculate, and it's not important enough to speculate. It'll be determined probably late on Thursday night, but maybe earlier in the day on Thursday who the Pistons will play. It certainly will be late on Thursday night because, like I said, there's a chance they could drop from the one seed to the two seed. That won't be determined until late night on Thursday. So maybe we'll have more information on that for Friday's show. But maybe you'll have to wake up on Friday and figure out yourself who they're playing. And also, as we tape this now late on Wednesday night, the schedule for who plays at what time and what TV channel, not determined as far as I can tell. That'll be figured out probably for TV purposes as far as what teams are going to be in what time slots. But like I said, don't know yet who they're going to play. We do know they're in the quarterfinals. They will be playing Friday. If they win that, they'll be playing Saturday. If they win that, they'll be playing on Sunday. I would imagine at some point it shifts to regular ESPN getting a nice little time slot because there's huge ratings of the Summer League winning in advanced, lose and go home kind of stuff that they'll be going up against here. But hopefully you bang them at 25-1, like I said before the Summer League started. Although I guess hopefully you never bet money on Summer League in the grander scheme of things. But it would have been nice to get a little extra change there. But hey, here's where I kind of throw a little bit of cold water on the Pistons situation a little bit. Some big picture stuff, because in life, there's a little bit of a curve that we are graded on sometimes. And I think that some of the Pistons are dealing with that, especially with ornery podcast hosts like yours truly. I'm going to say that on Wednesday, and of course, a bad quarter every now and then isn't the worst thing in the world, but I would say that Wednesday's game against Philly was less than good for some of the big Summer League quote-unquote stars for the Pistons in this one, the roster guys, the guys that we know are going to be in there. Bruce, a little bit of a mixed bag. Now, I know that sounds crazy because he had the triple-double, only the second triple-double in Summer League history, 11 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists. But I'll say this. I didn't love how he handled the defense from Matisse Thybulle at times. Now, you could throw Shelvin Mack into that as well. Zaire Smith, I don't recall him going up against Zaire one-on-one all that much. But Bruce Brown had the three turnovers, and I was discouraged about that, especially when they brought big pressure. Now, again, a caveat, more good than bad overall for Bruce Brown, and certainly throughout the tournament, of course, too. But I'm watching the point guard stuff closely and realizing that, you know, he's probably not going to be playing, and we know this from kind of the same tease that we got in Summer League last year. Just because he's playing Summer League point guard doesn't mean he's going to play, if at all, Summer League or NBA point guard. Now they're just trying to boost up the playmaking a little bit. And I think that's a role that we kind of already knew he had. Obviously, you want to keep boosting that. You want to keep running some pick and roll with him as the guy receiving the pick and coming off of it. But I think the most important directive for Bruce Brown this offseason and this Summer League was to prove that he could hit three-point shots. He's not doing that. He was 0-for-1 on Wednesday. Again, and I know it sounds crazy because he's the guy right now, if Summer League ended, he's probably the front runner for Summer League MVP. So I'm not complaining about how Bruce Brown is playing. At times he looks like a man against boys, and certainly he's a big part of the defensive effort the Pistons are putting forth to have all the Summer League success that they're having. All good things, but all things that we knew about Bruce Brown before. And I'll be honest, if you said to me beforehand, what would you rather prefer? I would toss away all the playmaking, all the point guard promise that he's showing. And again, these are things that could be useful this year in small chunks and very useful possibly down the road if there's a point guard future for Bruce Brown. So that's not a bad thing, but we've seen this stuff. We saw him. I would take good shooting and a solid three-point shot and the ability to maybe come off of a screen and hit a pull-up jump shot, or the ability to spot up and catch and shoot if Svi's coming off of something or if Jordan Bone's coming off something. I would take a few more of those other than maybe what we're seeing from Bruce Brown as far as signs that I think that he's really progressing and could be more helpful to the Pistons, more effective of a rotation player going forward. I mean, I can remember a shot that he pulled up from three and threw it basically off the backboard the other day, kind of reminiscent of some of the shots we saw from him throughout the regular season with the Pistons last year, and kind of a tongue-in-cheek, avert-your-eyes kind of a tough-to-watch shoot shots sometimes. Again, a man against boys at times, like some of the commentators have said, leading a great defensive effort for the Pistons, all good things there, but I think we knew that coming in. So what we know and what we're seeing, the progress from Bruce, is not necessarily the thing that I would want to see the most progress from him. And this isn't a dig at his effort or anything like that. I'm sure he is shooting shots, and I'm sure that the small sample size doesn't help his favor here in Summer League so far. But again, some things that I'd like to see from Bruce Brown going forward. And then, you know, Svi Mykhailiuk had his first tough game on Wednesday against Philly, 6 points for him, and Kyrie Thomas only had 7 points. Probably their worst games of the Summer League, although Kyrie was 3 for 14 from three, one of those games against Portland on Saturday. With Svi, again, more good than bad, no doubt about that. The defense got exposed on some drives on Wednesday against Philly. Too many fouls for him as well. The playmaking is good. It's good to show him be more than just a standstill shooter, the ability to on the pick and roll to attack there. The shot is nice. We know about that. There was a couple of shots he made late in the game where he was just relaxed and open, and it was wet. I mean, it was nice. It was just like it. And again, I'm on team Svi should be in the rotation next year. And it's another kind of nice byproduct in some ways of drafting Sekou Doumbouya, and I've kind of talked myself into it more and more as time goes on with the fit, in that not only are you getting a guy who could be a real plus-plus player in the future if Doumbouya progresses over the years, and obviously there's huge question marks there, a lot of unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. But just giving Svi kind of some rotation time this year as kind of a backup small forward, sink or swim situation for him in some ways. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't give up on him if he had some tough stretches or even a tough full season. But I think the ability for the Pistons to throw him out there with some real minutes, rotational guy maybe at times, maybe a rotational guy all season, and give him 1-2 years with Tony Snell there as kind of the, obviously, the starter and the guy who's going to get the bulkier minutes and the guy you want playing in the clutch and playoff time and all that good stuff. But to give Svi a real chance over these next couple years when you got to make some decisions on Svi and Kyrie and Bruce Brown in terms of who you want to offer more contract to, whether that's in a restricted situation or whether you want to cut bait with one of these guys and focus on one or two of the others instead, or maybe they become parts of trade packages going forward. So you needed to get these guys some minutes, and I think that's another good byproduct of the Sekou Doumbouya draftee, as opposed to picking a more NBA-ready Keldon Johnson type of player, Cameron Johnson, a guy that you might be able to insert 15 minutes, 10 minutes as a backup small forward into the NBA as a rookie. So, again, good things there, but to just sometimes that one-on-one defense. And I think, I don't think he's awful at defense. I think, he shows some good things, but he was beat a couple of times by some of those NBA guys. Again, when you're talking about Bruce Brown and Svi and Kyrie, you're looking at how they match up against the Matisse Thybulles, the Zaire Smiths, the guys that are NBA players, because we know that Bruce Brown can get around a pick and roll and really do damage against Croatia. And he has shown against all the NBA teams as well, better finishing at the rim, and we're all encouraged about that. But with Kyrie Thomas, that's the one I'd like to see more from. I think the 7 threes that he had in the Croatia game, a little bit of a mirage about how he's playing in Summer League so far. It kind of masks the fact that he really hasn't been that great in Vegas. That said, he's a key cog to what's been an exceptional team defense so far for the Pistons. If he is somewhat limited in terms of his all-around offensive game and not a knockdown shooter like I might see Svi being projected to be going forward. Kyrie, a good shooter and doing pretty well at it, improving over the years. But, in addition to that, obviously, and we talked about that at the top of the show, one of the main reasons why this team is winning, in addition to the superb defense and a little bit of strong shooting so far, is the unheralded guys. So we got to give props to the Pistons scouts, the college scouting teams, the pro scouting teams, whoever does the look at the G League as well. Grand Rapids, that team should be good if most of these guys play out there. But overall with the Pistons, 4-0, good culture, good vibes, good for the coaches to win some games. Sean Sweeney and those guys as well. Good to feel good about something with this team. And it feels like this franchise is being built in a positive way. So I wanted to come out and give some props for that with maybe some of the negativity that we threw out there on today's podcast. Now, all that said, watch the team trade for Russell Westbrook tomorrow and throw all this away. So we'll see how this all kind of shakes down. But up next, we're going to talk about Kyle Lowry a little bit. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, I wanted to take a couple of minutes and talk about Kyle Lowry as he's kind of fell through the cracks a little bit, but one of the byproducts of Kawhi Leonard moving from the Raptors to the Clippers is that Masai Ujiri might have the opportunity to strip down this team, which is something he's been long rumored to want to do. Obviously, the DeMar DeRozan trade for Kawhi Leonard in and of itself was kind of that roll of the dice that it might work and it might not. Certainly, it did work, and the Raptors are celebrating a championship, but is there a chance that the Raptors could be completely broken down this year or maybe over the past next couple years? I mean, look at that cap sheet that they have. Very clean. It's like a real work of art. A lot of guys on expiring deals this year. They've got Pascal Siakam as a guy who is under team control for the next couple of years. But other than that, Norman Powell, another season after this, and then a player option for a couple of years from now. But OG Anunoby still on the rookie deal. But other than that, I mean, we're talking Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who they just brought in. Just a bunch of guys who are in expiring deals. So Masai Ujiri must be in heaven right now trying to figure out what to do with this team. But I'm looking for some thoughts that you guys have here on Kyle Lowry. Mine are this. Kyle Lowry has a one-year left on his deal. Big deal, $34 million. My first impressions are that I don't really see a fit with the Pistons trade-wise, and I'm talking more asset for asset at this point. You know, Reggie and Langston for Kyle Lowry doesn't work. The Pistons have already used their mid-level exceptions and biannual exceptions, so they can't really go into the tax or else it kind of changes everything there. So they're really in this situation where any trades they can make is pretty much minor unless they go right into the tax. So going to be difficult for them. But, you know, Tom Gores has said he will pay that tax if need be. I thought it was an interesting wrinkle. A part of the trade is maybe if you wanted to throw in Andre Drummond and Marc Gasol into that mix as well. Reggie Langston and Andre for Gasol and Kyle Lowry. Gasol has a little bit lower of a salary than Andre Drummond and picked up his player options. So he has 1 year left on his deal, whereas Andre still has an option for the following year. After that, that particular trade misses by like $200,000, but it's so close that I'm sure there's a way to massage that and make it work for those smart front offices. But to me, it makes more sense to wait and try to get Kyle Lowry at a lower number in free agency next summer. And I'll say this. I have a thought here. I think that my curiosity about Reggie Jackson coming in on an expiring deal with what he hopes is, you know, several more years in the NBA in front of him, a lot of motivation to come back and play really well this year, a healthy summer for him as far as we know. I think that my curiosity about how Reggie Jackson would look and how he would do is more than his trade value is out there right now. So, you know, would I prefer Kyle Lowry than Reggie Jackson this year? Of course. But my curiosity for Reggie Jackson is more than the what you could get in a trade for him, if that makes any sense. Now, if there's a piece I really want out there, that curiosity for Reggie Jackson, how he looks that year, this coming year, is not enough to pull back on not trading Reggie. But I do have an itch to see how he does this year. Obviously, any trade kind of comes down to value. And just keep in mind, Kyle Lowry isn't a long-term solution either. You know, I know Dwayne Casey likes him, and he makes the Pistons better next season, no doubt. But man, are you going to trade? Where are you going if you're going to trade for a 33-year-old point guard? And someone who I thought declined a little bit last year as well. Looked good at times in the NBA Finals and throughout the playoffs, but also had times when he didn't look good too. Now, if there's a fire sale in Toronto and they want anything and they'll attach a young piece to him for some reason, sure, you listen. Or if this is a way to move on from Andre Drummond, if you think that's a prudent thing to do, sure, you listen to that too. But I don't know. I'm just not seeing that fit. If you're the Raptors and you're giving up Kyle Lowry and you're talking about guys like Reggie Jackson and Langston Galloway kind of being the basis of that trade, and yeah, the similar salary package that is being thrown about for Russell Westbrook where it's Tony Snell being the third guy, I don't know. I don't think the upgrade of Kyle Lowry and Reggie Jackson, which is an upgrade for the Pistons at point guard, that isn't enough for me to give up Tony Snell and the starting small forward. Now, maybe there's a way that you can get one of their cheaper wings as kind of your starter and waiting for the Sekou and Svi package to maybe take over at small forward long term. And like I said, a lot of their guys are expiring deals. Maybe after Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, after that December 15th date, maybe he could get traded as he comes in. I guess actually that would be the August 20th date. So Rondae Hollis-Jefferson could be a guy that maybe you trade for and give up the Tony Snell's big contract, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's like a worse version of Tony Snell, and he could be coupled with the upgrade that you get a point guard. Maybe that could be something the Pistons could be interested in. But yeah, I'm just not that excited about a 33-year-old point guard. But if Dwayne Casey wants to look into him next summer, I think that'd be more of a prudent thing at a more reasonable contract, and maybe again a shorter term deal for a guy who could help you in the short term, but certainly isn't a long-term answer at point guard. But I want some thoughts from you guys on this. Give me a call on the Google voice line, 810-666-1546. Not a lot to talk about for Friday's podcast. We'll obviously look ahead to the Summer League weekend ahead, but got some space for some voicemails if you guys want to call, talk about Kyle Lowry or the Summer League or whatever else is on your mind. So we'll leave some space for you guys to call on Thursday. Again, 810-666-1546. Leave your name, leave where you live, and keep it under 2 minutes or 90 seconds or so. We'd appreciate that. But this is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.